Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. Lately, I've noticed a lot of people who have learned the truth about the Holocaust. They've learned that a lot of the things that they heard about World War II were not true. But then they go to this other extreme of somehow saying that Adolf Hitler was a great person, or even that he was a Christian, even that he believed the Bible or something like that. And of course, this is completely ridiculous. So let me just give you some evidence on this, because a lot of people will pull out quotes from Hitler where he's mentioning God or Jesus or the Bible or something like that. But what they have to understand is that he was doing the same thing that politicians now do, where they'll just invoke the name of God, God bless America, and talk about Jesus or whatever, just because they know that that's what the audience wants to hear. It doesn't mean that that's actually what they believe. So if you actually study up on Adolf Hitler in World War II, you'll find out that the only time that he's saying these quotes that make it sound like he believes in Christ are just in public speeches or in books or pamphlets that were for public consumption. If you look at anything that he ever said to any of his staff or any of his friends or anything that he said in meetings that are not being broadcast to the public, he's always very anti-Christian and did not like Christianity at all. He's strongly Darwinian and evolutionist in his beliefs. Now, a book that I would strongly recommend, and I'm going to read you some excerpts from this book just to back up what I'm saying, but this book is called Hitler's War by David Irving. Now, David Irving is acknowledged by many historians, even who disagree with his views, to be probably the person alive today who knows the most about World War II. He's an excellent historian. He's a best-selling author of 30-some books. And the thing that's great about David Irving is that he actually goes back to the original documents. He doesn't just look at published books and read a bunch of published books and then write his own book. He actually travels the world and has traveled throughout Germany collecting the original handwritten documents. Okay. So he goes to the diaries and the notes and all the actual evidence. He's interviewed the eyewitnesses. He speaks fluent German. He's written books in German. He actually went to Germany and worked in a steel mill for 1 year just to become fluent in German. And so he's a historian that really does due diligence and backs up and footnotes and documents everything. Okay, so he's an excellent historian. And he tells the truth. You know, and it's gotten him into a lot of trouble. He's banned from a lot of countries even, just for telling the truth about the Holocaust, for example. And if you go to his Wikipedia page, the first sentence is, you know, David Irving is an English Holocaust denier. Instead of saying David Irving is, you know, a best-selling author, David Irving is a first-class historian respected by his peers. He's just a Holocaust denier. Which, you know, if you actually read this book, for example, and I haven't read David Irving's other books. This is my first book that I've read by David Irving. And but I'm definitely going to read more of his books because this is a really good book. But if you actually read this book, I've listened to his speeches and so forth as well. But if you actually read this book, he doesn't sugarcoat anything, okay? He gives you the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he says all kinds of negative things about Hitler. And, you know, when people are being massacred and when people are being murdered and Jews are being murdered by the Nazis and everything, he talks about that. He doesn't hide it. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He gives all the facts. But he just doesn't buy into the fairy tale of the 6 million. And the, you know, mass gassings at Auschwitz and so forth. So this is a really good book. I'd highly recommend it. It's extremely long, so it does take a bit of a commitment to get through it. But it's really easy to read. It's an entertaining book. I've really enjoyed reading it. If you like history, if you like World War II, but one of the things that comes out a lot in this book too, though, is not just atrocities carried out by the Nazis, but also atrocities carried out by the English and by the American side as well. You know, there were just a lot of innocent civilians murdered by the Allies as well as by Germany and others. So, you know, World War II was probably the worst bloodbath in the history of mankind. So, you know, this book really is just a balanced, intelligent treatment of the subject. And it really, you know, gives you all the facts. And I mean, there's so much documentation. There's just like hundreds of pages of sources at the end and photographs of the documents that he's getting this stuff from. So anyway, let me just read you some excerpts here on the issue of whether or not Hitler was Christian. Okay. This is from page 183. It says, Hitler often talked about religion. Annelies Schmund would write in her diary on June 8, 1941, long conversations in the evening on religion and Christianity. Cultural retrogression since Greek and Roman art. Huell wrote a much lengthier note that evening. Over dinner this evening, a wonderful talk on the Roman Empire and its displacement by Christianity. So this is Hitler giving these talks at dinner time, and he gave daily talks to his entourage, to the secretaries and the people that were there. And here's a synopsis of what Hitler spoke about that evening. Christianity has been one long act of deceit and self-contradiction. It preaches goodness, humility, and love thy neighbor. But under this slogan, it has burned and butchered millions to the accompaniment of pious proverbs. The ancients openly admitted that they killed for self-protection and revenge or as punishment. The Christians do so only out of love. Only Christianity has created a vengeful God, one who commits man to hell the moment he starts using the brains that God gave him. The classical was an age of enlightenment. Because remember earlier he mentioned how, you know, in the Greco-Roman period, that was when culture was thriving, and it's all been downhill since then. The classical was an age of enlightenment, talking about the Greeks and the Romans. With the onset of Christianity, scientific research was halted, and there began instead a research into the visions of saints instead of the things that God gave us. Research into nature became a sin. The tragedy is that to this very day, there are thousands of educated people running around believing in all this claptrap. They deny that nature is all-powerful. They glorify the weak, the sick, the crippled, and the simple-minded. In the ideal world of Pastor Friedrich von Bodelschwingh, the healthy find everlasting life only if they've devoted their lives to the weak, to the idiot, and such like. The sick are there so that we can do good deeds. If this goes on much longer, there will soon be more sick than sound. Today, there are already 1,000 million of them. As for cruelty, Christianity holds all world records. Christianity is the revenge of the wandering Jew. Where would we be today if only we had not had Christianity? We would have the same brains, but we would have avoided a hiatus of 1,500 years. The terrible thing is that millions of people believe or act as though they believe all this. They feign belief in it all. If we'd all been Mohammedans, meaning Muslims, if we'd all been Mohammedans, today the world would have been ours. This is Irving's comment on it. Excerpts from unpublished records like these show that Hitler was inspired by purely Darwinian beliefs, the survival of the fittest, with no use for the moral comfort that sound religious teaching can purvey. Liberty, equality, and fraternity are the grandest nonsense, he said that evening. Liberty automatically precludes equality because liberty leads automatically to the advancement of the healthier, the better, and the more proficient, and thus there is less equality. Yet Hitler still prevented the party from taking its persecution of the church too far. Not even he had contracted out of the Catholic Church. So he's still a member of the Catholic Church on paper, and he doesn't want his party to persecute the Catholic Church just because of the fact that the country that he's running is predominantly Catholic and Lutheran. So he just doesn't want to rock that boat. But in his personal beliefs, It's all survival of the fittest. It's all Darwinianism. And the religion he likes is the ancient paganism of the Greco-Roman period. He was also a big fan of Wagner's operas and that kind of mythology and stuff like that. Here's another excerpt from the book. This is on page 423. Sometimes Hitler would talk about the Nazi Party and Christianity. We must not try to combat religion, he dictated, but let it wither away. So again, he doesn't want to fight it publicly, but he says, let it wither away. So he's clearly not a Christian, is he? Page 424, Christa Schroeder, Hitler's devoted secretary, wrote in mid-July 1941, in our evening discussions with the chief being Hitler, in our evening discussions with the chief, the church played a big part. It's also convincing what the chief says. When, for example, he explains how Christianity, by its mendacity and hypocrisy, has set back mankind in its development, culturally speaking, by 2,000 years. I really must start writing down what the chief says, and on and on. So, you know, that's just a few examples. I mean, there's a lot more. I didn't mark everything in this book, but those are just a few pages in this book that I could point to where David Irving gives testimony from the people that were right there with him, listening to him, his secretaries, his advisors, people that he worked with. And every single time he's talking behind closed doors about religion, it's anti-Christianity. And it's for a Darwinian religion of survival of the fittest. So don't get sucked into this talk of, oh yeah, Hitler was a Christian and Hitler was a godly person. And that's not true at all. And although the Holocaust is greatly exaggerated, and although, you know, there were some things that Hitler obviously did that were good and that were right, there's a lot of bad things that he did, a lot of wicked things that he did, and a lot of other wicked things that the Nazi Party did besides him. So what we need to understand is that the Soviet Union was bad, and Nazi Germany was bad, and Great Britain was super bad. And they were all wicked. They were all murdering innocent people. I mean, in this book, there's just a ton of information about the British just murdering civilians. I mean, they targeted civilians even early on in World War II, just murdering innocent civilians. And, you know, later on, the Germans would do the same thing. But I mean, the British were doing that from the beginning, just bombing residential areas and just murdering tons of people. So anyway, if you're interested in history, I do highly recommend this book. I haven't read David Irving's other books, but this is a really good book. And I've listened to some of his speeches and everything and read up on him, and he's a great historian. And he gives a very balanced approach. And so don't go off the deep end and become pro-Hitler just because you realize that the Jews are wicked. You know, it's one of these things where both sides are bad. And the devil often deceives us into thinking, oh, well, you know, if the Democrats are bad, then the Republicans are good. Or, you know, well, if it's not Coke, it's Pepsi. Don't fall for that Hegelian dialectic, that false left-right paradigm. You know, we need to just stick with Scripture, stick with the Word of God, stick with the Bible. And no warlord or politician or dictator should be our hero.